Arm Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on our grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind, from French press to espresso, and his favorite roast, depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's sterlingsoap.com.
They say the NFL draft is a gamble, but at pick number 20, some teams didn't just find players, they found immortals. Did you know that the 20th overall selection has produced three first ballot legends? From the finest player Lombardi ever coached to the man who took his team to the Super Bowl on a broken leg. Today, we're counting down the most legendary voices of gridiron lore from the 20th spot. Ed Cleese joins us here in the Pigpen as we count down the top 32 spots in NFL history at number 20 is on our list today. Welcome to the Pigpen as we count down all 32 top picks at 32 straight days.
Hey, Darren, how are you today?
I am doing great. You know, we are getting so much closer to the draft here in Western Pennsylvania where the National Football League's future stars are going to be coming out. And but we're going to talk a little bit about the past stars that have been drafted at slot number 20. You know, remarkable, 20 days to it, talking about slot number 20. What do you have to say about the history of this amazing draft selection spot?
So as you know, Darren, we go back to 1980 on my count when I'm doing my top fives and kind of compiling some information. And I would say I've been torn on what to do with the more recent guys, how to slot them in. And there's a definite star in the making right now. He hasn't been in the league. He just hasn't been around quite long enough. But that would be Jackson Smith and Jigba was taken in 2023, or as you like to call him, Jackson Ninja Smith, if you remember from our Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we'll just call him Ninja Smith. So Ninja Smith was taken in 2023, and he's like on that star track for sure. There's a few other notables in the last dozen years or so. Another guy that was Garrett Bowles. He's been a starter for the Broncos on their own line for a number of years now. Brandon Cooks is a guy that we all know. And then we had two offensive linemen that both of them may have been in top five consideration, but they both retired early. And that would have been Kyle Long, who was drafted in 2013 and was having a very nice career for the Bears. And then Frank Ragnow for the Lions, the center. Both of them, he was taken in 2018. So somewhat recent guys that were having good careers and then called it quits kind of early.
And then Ragnow tried to come back last year and got injured. And I don't know if he's still trying to make a comeback this coming year or not, but there's been rumors.
Yeah. I don't know, but he was pretty young, so it's possible. Now, there's only been one quarterback taken since 1980, and I'm very happy to report this one because I feel like so far on these lists, we've done a lot of patting on the back of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So let's talk about Kenny Pickett taken with the 20th overall pick. I would say that is – definite bust category.
Yeah, when you're looking at, I see he's you know, recently talking to some teams adjoining at the time we're recording this, probably be signed with one, but it'll be what is a sixth team in 7 years or whatever. It's kind of right. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, so he's kind of on that bust watch at least. I mean, and certainly was a bust for the team that drafted him. In terms of other busts, I found a whole lot of players that were drafted 20th overall, Darren, that I would say were average to disappointing, but maybe not a whole lot that I would say were just busts. I got a couple names for you. One that's a really, really terrible case would be in 2016. That's where the Jets took Darren Lee. And if you remember, Darren Lee is now in jail. He is charged with murder of his girlfriend, I believe. So rough, you know, that's a terrible thing. He didn't play well for them. And that's kind of goes back to the thing we talk a lot about, character when it comes to the draft and these teams that do all their homework. And to me, there are just certain red flags that teams should not overlook. And it looks like the Jets overlooked him with him and pretty rough case for him right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's two bad situations there that you just mentioned, but But we do have some promise coming up, and I'm sure you have a top five that you're going to be sharing with us.
Yes, we can talk about some notables first, some like honorable mentions, guys that didn't quite make the top five that I'd say were considered. That would be Luther Ellis, who was a longtime Lion, a very good edge rusher, defensive end. He was drafted in 95. Haywood Jeffries, who was actually all-pro, first-team all-pro receiver in 1987, had a monster year in that run-and-shoot offense with Warren Moon and the Oilers. His peak was just super short. So, you know, it was a very brief kind of moment that he was on top. Will Wolford was drafted by the Bills and was on their Super Bowl teams as an offensive line, was kind of a stalwart for them. He was drafted in 86. And an OG, one of the original Hogs, Mark May, was drafted by the Redskins in 1981. None of those guys quite made the list, but yeah, some solid careers there.
Yeah, it's you know, really some good names as you mentioned there. You know, I failed to mention at the top, we have had three Hall of Famers from this draft slot over the last 90 drafts. I think you're going to be talking about one of them probably in your top five. The other two are a little bit outside your 1980 window, but very recognizable names, which we'll get to here in just a little bit as a little tease. So why don't you give us your number five spot?
Number five, I've got Tamba Hali, drafted in 2006, a defensive end. He was drafted by the Chiefs. I would say never a, you know, dominant player per se, but he did have two second team all pros and he went to five straight Pro Bowls. Again, Pro Bowls at this stage, they're kind of difficult to use as a benchmark, but when he, you know, mid 2000s, it still probably meant a little something. He had 89 and a half sacks. Unfortunately, he played his entire career with the Chiefs. Unfortunately for him, he just missed the Mahomes era. So he was on those good but not great Chiefs teams. He was also very versatile, Darren. He was listed at multiple positions. They kind of moved him from that edge to more of a traditional linebacker. So just a really nice career that set him a little over some of those other honorable mention guys for me.
All right. That's a pretty solid pick, though. Great player. So who do you have above him?
Yeah, the rest of the list, I think we go a little bit – we're scaling up a little bit. And this is a guy that I have a really strong memory of, and I'll let you know. He was drafted way back, 1982, was Mike Quick, wide receiver for the Eagles. He had a very quiet rookie year, and then he had a really big five-year run that I really don't think people really remember. Two first-team All-Pros, and he led the league in receiving yards in 1983. – I remember a very specific play in 1985. He had a 99-yard overtime touchdown against the Falcons. Obviously, the longest overtime touchdown in history. Can't be any longer than that unless it's a punt or kick return. And also in 1985, Darren, it's kind of funny. My first ever NFL game was not a Redskins game. I attended a Vikings-Eagles game in 1985 at the Vet. Mike Quick scored a touchdown in that game. My dad and I left early. It was 23-0 going into the fourth quarter, and the Eagles were winning. And the Falcons came all the way back in the fourth quarter, one of the biggest comebacks in NFL history, which we missed. But I did not miss the Mike Quick touchdown. So that's always – he's just a guy that I kind of feel like I kind of grew up watching. I think, unfortunately, he was a big yards-per-catch guy, so a big play receiver. I think what really hurt him, Darren, was he missed the window for the Eagles, meaning that the early 80s teams, the one that went to the Super Bowl, and then the late 80s teams, the Buddy Ryan, and in the mid-80s, they weren't very good. And that's when he had his big years. So he was doing a lot of his work for teams that weren't particularly good and they weren't really in the playoffs. And then his last 3 years were just completely injury-saddled. So he had that five-year burst, then it was kind of over. And he never really got to play for those better Eagles teams. He was on a couple of them, but wasn't contributing much. But he's really a lifelong Eagle because he's now been in the booth with Merrill Reese as their color commentator on radio for the past over 30 years now. So he's like a lifelong Eagle.
Yeah, and he has one of the most appropriate names for a wide receiver in the NFL next to maybe Max Speedy. You know, just when you have that.
Mike Quick, what a cool name.
Yeah, right. When you have something that portrays you know, fast, you know, Quick or Max Speedy, you know, those are great names for wide receivers and very appropriate. Yes, pretty fast guy. Yes,
Yeah, and, and like I said, for me, just kind of personally, it's like one of the first guys I remember in the NFL as kind of standing out. So moving on to number three, this one surprised me because I saw his name on the list and I was like, I'll look into it. And then it surprised me where I wound up actually ranking him. And that was in 2008, the Bucs drafted cornerback Aqib Talib, a guy that we probably all remember. And one of the, you know, the number three and number two, Darren, have a lot of trends. Okay, so they're very similar. And when Talib was drafted, he had a lot of conduct issues early in his career. Nothing horrible, but he was missing meetings. He was late. The team was suspending him. The league suspended him for I think he had a battery charge that he missed the game for. And so for his first few years in the league, he was a good player, but was probably leaving a lot on the table. And then in 2012, he was traded to the Patriots. And for the next year and a half, he really got his career on track. He became he went from being a good player to a more than good player.
Bill Belichick will do that to you if you play on his defense, right?
Exactly, exactly. And then he went from a good player to borderline great player when he went to Denver in 2014. That's when he went to four straight Pro Bowls. He made a couple All-Pro teams. He was a starter and a key player for that very good defense in 2015 that won the Super Bowl for the Broncos with Von Miller and some others. He was the leader of the secondary. And he had a really great run in Denver. He kind of ended quietly with the Rams. And then kind of funny, if you remember, Fox gave him a chance in the booth, and he was kind of controversial. He was kind of interesting. He was very different than a lot of other color commentators. And I thought he was really good, really good. But then he went and got himself in some more trouble again off the field and kind of lost that gig. And I'm not really sure what he's up to now, but sort of this kind of cycle for him. But he got his act together for long enough to really have a very nice career in the NFL and make my list.
All right. Well, I think he's very solid. I'm anxious to see who you have ranked above him.
Yeah, this was tough because at number two, it's the same position. Drafted in 1992, I have Dale Carter, drafted by the Chiefs. First of all, he was the Defensive Rookie of the Year in 92. And also in his rookie year, they played the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And he got ejected for kicking Michael Irvin, which really made me happy. And I've always kind of had a warm spot in my heart for Dale Carter ever since. Made a good decision later on Thanksgiving. He had a couple second team all pros. He went to four straight Pro Bowls, but he had several off field violations. In 99, he signed with the Broncos. He had a nice year for them. Then he got suspended for the entire 2000 season for a substance abuse violation. It was his fourth or something like that. And then he really never played again. I mean, he kicked around the league for another year or two, but never played again. And then that was it. He was similar to Talib, and you could argue one above the other. And what broke the tie for me was that I thought just at their peak, Carter was probably even better, lockdown, shutdown corner.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that, especially when you get the Defensive Rookie of the Year award and, you start off really strong. Maybe he has that little bit of advantage over Talib, who had a little bit slower start. So,
yeah, and just a PSA to all the kids out there, seriously, it's both of these guys, we have them high, but who knows how high they could have been on the list. Maybe they're both gold jacket guys if they, would have just made better decisions and taken more advantage of the opportunity. You just never know. Number one, we're going to stay in the AFC West. And we're going to stay in the defensive backfield. And I think you know exactly who I'm going to talk about here. Mm-hmm. And that is 1989 safety Steve Atwater. Talk about rock solid, man. 10 years with the Broncos, one with the Jets, 8-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All-Pro. But I'd say he had 125 tackles, Darren, or more, in each of his first 5 years. So that is massive production. He also played in 17 playoff games. He won both of those Super Bowls with Denver in 97 and 98. And something that people may forget is that he had a great game in Super Bowl 32 against the Packers. He had a sack. He had a forced fumble that got them points. He was everywhere in that game. I remember that. And I also remember there was some controversy. A lot of people thought he should have been the MVP of that game, that he really earned it. He was one of those guys. You watch that game, you're who's that? You know what I mean? We obviously knew who he was at this point. But I mean, that guy was dominating the Super Bowl, literally. So he is, of course, in the Hall of Fame, a massive hitter. I would say he had a lot of aesthetic things about him. I mean, me and my friends as kids, like, I know his nickname was the Assassin. And if you're out and every time somebody got hit in football, you might be like, oh, that's like Atwater. You know, he had the famous Monday night hit on Christian Okoye where he stopped him in his tracks. We've seen that a million times. So, you know, just sort of that old school monster safety, relatively short career. So maybe in the pantheon of safeties, he's not quite as high as some of the others. But, I mean, an awesome, awesome player and easy number one on this list.
But you're really showing some Denver Bronco love here. The last three have all had parts of their career with the Broncos.
So. Yep, all and really two of them had the you know the, their best years with the Broncos.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yes, absolutely. I think that's a really great you know top five you have there from the pick number 20. Now, we mentioned earlier that there were a total of three Hall of Famers. Of course, Atwater was one of the Hall of Famers. The other two were before the 1980 season where you're going back to. And the first one, people may know him more as a coach, but this guy was an awesome player. 1956, the Green Bay Packers took Forrest Gregg. You know, you may remember maybe a coach of the Bengals. Maybe that's a little bit before your day. But, you know, Gregg was a 9-time Pro Bowler, 7 times All-Pro, 3-time Super Bowl champ, and I believe even some championships before the Super Bowl with Green Bay Packers in the Lombardi era. Definitely one of their stalwarts was he. And another one is another guy that played in a Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl, but it was Jack Youngblood. 1971, the LA Rams took him, and he was a 7-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All-Pro, all 1970s team. So two really big players from yesteryear to round out our Hall of Famers.
For sure, yes, sir.
Yeah. So I got a couple little interesting stats here. You know, pick number 20, if you're wondering if your team's picking there, well, you might be saying, okay, what position is the most popular? Well, wide receiver has a slight edge over some other positions. 11 times in 90 drafts, a wide receiver has been taken in there. And the most frequently drafted school in the spot is the Michigan Wolverines. So some big blue getting drafted at pick number 20.
Finally, not USC or Ohio State.
Yeah, that's for sure. There's another Big Ten team. You know, right. Big Ten's dominating the draft here. And that sort of takes us to our draft stat of the day. This is a little short and sweet, and I'm glad you mentioned USC because our draft stat mentions USC. USC holds the longest active streak of 24 years of having a player drafted in the first three rounds. So okay. That's kind of remarkable. You sit there and think about it. You out of, 96 picks, you know.
Right.
To go that 24 straight years.
Every year, okay.
That's pretty good. And it's not now, like USC's had all, powerhouse man. Teams. What's that?
Go. Name them all now. Go.
Name them all? we'll pass on that. Okay. I'll edit it in. I'll look really smart. Nice. All right. Well, Ed, I think that wraps up our slot number 20 selection. We will be back tomorrow talking about the 19th pick and the history of it. And as we continue our countdown toward the 2026 draft in Pittsburgh. And thanks, Ed, for joining us here and bringing the great history once again.
We'll see you tomorrow.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, everyone. There's a new podcast in town, Statman and Robin. We are the dynamic duo of Baltimore sports history.
We have lots of stories to tell about the great and not so great teams and players in Baltimore's rich sports history, and some of the more obscure ones too.
We grew up together with these teams and players, and we'll add our experiences to these great stories.
Yep, we were there for a lot of them. Join us here on the Sports History Network.